الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah said, verily, the believers have succeeded. Allah did not say they will succeed. Allah said they have succeeded. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ They have succeeded. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned several of the sifat, several of the qualities of the believers. Who are the believers? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Allah said they are the people who have khushu in their salah. Now, inshallah, let us see. Bismillahi ta'ala, we will see what we can learn from this and what we can remind ourselves. Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashiyun. Allah said they are the people who have khushu in their salah. Now, khushu is, we say, concentration, dedication, focus, and so on and so on. But khushu is a sense of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives and a sense of being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially in salah. I mean, this is, salah is the head of the matter, and the example of salah applies to all of life. It is not restricted only to salah. But obviously, when salah is mentioned, then salah is meant, and that is where it begins. If we do not even have a sense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence in our life and of being in the presence of Allah, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing, وَأَسِرُوا قَوْلَكُمْ وَبِجْهَرُوا بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you say something secretly or if you say something publicly and openly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala عَلِمُ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah is aware even of what is in your hearts. So if this sense of the power and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we do not even have this in salah, then obviously one cannot expect that we have this in other parts of life. So therefore, we are talking about salah. So salah is meant, but also to keep in mind that this extends to other parts of our life. So the believers have succeeded, and who are the believers? The first quality that is described is Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashiyun. These are the people who have khushu in their salah. Now this khushu is, how does it come? How do we have a sense of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, and how do we have a sense of being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7 all through our lives, and especially fi salat, inside in our salah? That is by the internal and outward two things. Outward, of course, by taking care of our tahara, taking care of making wudu properly, cleanliness of our clothes, being prepared and taking care and going to salah with a sense of the majesty of the one we are going and standing before. You know, we always have this constant discussion and sometimes argument, may Allah forgive us, of whether we should wear a topi or not wear a topi, yeah, in salah. Should you wear a cap or you should not wear a cap? My question is, that question itself, according to me, is silly, because when you are going into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how should you go? You go in a sense of, like, for example, if you're going into an interview, you know, nobody will say, should I wear a suit or should I not wear it? Can I just go in a pair of shorts? After all, the man is hiring me for my knowledge. He's not hiring me for my suit. But do you think we'll get a job if you go wearing shorts? I mean, it makes no, seriously, if a person goes in a pair of shorts, then so what? Big deal. But you will not do that because it's not appropriate to the situation. So it's not a question of saying, is it halal, haram, is my salah accepted? Of course your salah is accepted. There's nobody said it's not accepted. But the issue is that if you go to Salah in a particular way, that is indicative, the external is indicative of the internal. The external is indicative of the sense of grace and majesty that you are going before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in the old days, I remember even at home, my father, my grandfather and so on, you would not see them in, you know, simply banyan and a lungi or a pajama and, you know, banyan or something. You never see them. I mean, in the bedroom, yes. But outside, if they step out of the bedroom, even in at home, even when they are only the people in the home, they will wear a kurta or they will wear something on top. I'm not saying they wear a sherwani or something, but they will wear a kurta or something and they come out in a state which is respectable. So also in Salah. So the issue of covering the head, the issue of wearing, you know, proper clothes. Salah is valid. I mean, as long as you are the satar of the male is covered, you know, from the above the belly button to below the knees. The knees must not show, the belly button mustn't show. So that part, if it is covered, Salah is valid. I mean, Salah is not haram. But is that a way to pray? I mean, if you go to the masjid only wearing no shirt, so why only no topi? Don't wear a shirt also. It doesn't matter. It amounts to the same thing. So the point is that it's the issue of what is my attitude, what is my external showing which reflects my internal. So the external, as far as the khushu in Salah is concerned, is this. Then when we stand in Salah, again, still in the external, then we stand in Salah, we should stand with perfect stillness, no movement, absolutely no movement other than the movements of the Salah. Now, I'm not going into, in the Hanafi Mazhab, something is invalidates the Salah, in the Shafi Mazhab, so many movements invalidate the Salah. I'm not talking about all that. I'm saying, why should you and I even move once? Whether the Salah is invalidated with three movements or one movement continued over a period of time, does it count as to one or more than one? I mean, we don't need to have all these. There are discussions, but there's no need for that. Point is, why do you need to move? The only movement in Salah is what? The raising of the hands for takbir, the going into ruku, standing up from ruku, going into sujood, sitting from sujood and so on. Other than that, why should there be any movement in Salah? After all, our entire Salah, no matter how much you recite or what you recite, is never more than, you know, 10 minutes, wallah alam, maybe 15 minutes if it is, then it's a kind of major major achievement. For that period also we cannot, and usually Salah is less than 5 minutes. So for that period also can't we stand still? Because we are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba used to stand, they say that the Sahaba used to stand in such a way that if you looked at them, then you feel that maybe there is a bird sitting on his head and he is afraid the bird will fly away if he moves. That is the level of stillness in Salah. There was a man who prayed in the presence of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu in the masjid. His man was praying and he was moving and he was scratching his beard and he was, you know, maybe adjusting his clothes or God knows what he was doing. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, his external indicates his internal state. He said, what kind of khushu can this man have when he is praying like this? Similarly, there was another man who prayed in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he was praying and then he was making dua and he said, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this man, and obviously the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew who the man was. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this man, his income is haram, his clothes are haram, his food is haram. How will Allah accept his dua? How can he get khushu in Salah when this man is living in haram? His income is haram, his food is haram and so on. So therefore, these externalities, which is the movement, which is the state of wudu, which is the sense of awe and majesty of Allah with which we come. That is the reason why in Salah, in Fard Salah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam paid so much importance to straightening the rows. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to actually walk in the row. He would not be standing. He would not simply say, Istawu, Istaqimu. He would walk in the row from one end of the row to the other end of the row and he would move people if necessary to make sure that they are all standing in a line. He would make sure that their shoulders are touching. So all of this is for the khushu of Salah. He said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do not keep gaps between yourselves, otherwise Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will put divisions in your hearts. Such a major, wa'id, such a major warning. He said the shaitan will come in between. between two people, meaning that he will create fitna and he will create wasawis and so on and so forth. So therefore the external of the salah, the place, how we stand, standing shoulder to shoulder, our own presence, cleanliness. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not come into the masjid if you have eaten garlic or onions. So even the smell and things like this, there is so much of care with things. Like you might say, you know, eating onion and garlic is not haram. Onion is not haram. Garlic is not haram. So what if I eat? No, it's not a question of haram. It's a question of for salah. When you're coming into the masjid, it's an unpleasant smell. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the malaika do not like the smell. So that means there we are standing here in the presence of malaika. With regard to Salatul Fajr, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Isra that the salah is witnessed. The malaika witnessed the salah. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to also recite longer surahs in Salatul Fajr. So all of these external factors contribute to the khushu of salah, the feeling of sense of grace and majesty of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then we go to the internal factors. So in the internal factors is really the issue of concentration, is the issue of standing there with the complete and total understanding that I am standing before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. That's the reason why Salah begins with Takbir Tahrima, which makes every single thing haram except khushu and concentration on Allah. When we say Allahu Akbar, we throw everything behind our back when you raise the hands, and then we fold our hands to concentrate on Allah only. And that's why even for example once you have started your Salah with Takbir Tahrima, then you don't answer anybody. If somebody says Salaam Alaikum, you don't say Walaikum Salaam. Somebody calls something, you don't say, you don't answer and so on. All of this is not permissible because you are standing before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There is no other thing there for that. Then in terms of khushu, also very important, if we can try to understand the meaning of what we are reciting or what is being recited, then this also helps in khushu because there is a conversation that is happening. There is what is being said, you understand. So your thoughts do not waver here and there. You are listening to me, your thoughts are not going here and there because you are understanding what I am saying. If I was speaking in a language which you didn't understand, your thoughts would go immediately all over the place. And that's the reason why it's very important to understand Arabic, at least minimum to understand what we recite or we normally hear in recitation. Usually people recite more or less the same thing, so it is at least something we should try to remember and understand. Also what helps in Salah and in getting khushu is the constant remembrance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that there is zikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala outside of Salah. So normally in our day-to-day life and so on and so forth, especially lot of durood, sending Salat and Salam on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a means of getting the rahmah of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on ourselves. So it's a way of easing difficulties, it's a way of bringing goodness into our lives. So lot of durood and also other azkar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La Ilaha Illallah, as the case might be, as much of those askar as possible. Inshallah, if we do all of this, then we will get khushu in our salah. And then we must translate this khushu back into the rest of our lives so that we constantly live our lives thoughtfully in a sense as if we are standing and not as if we are standing before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala throughout in our lives. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to give us khushu in salah and to include us among those about whom he said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ